The return to the classroom. Classroom management techniques. The jury is still out in most states regarding the return of children to the classroom. I read an article a few days ago that discussed the fear for teachers and parents surrounding the return. The fear is not unwarranted, and behavior analysts would explain behaviors expressed to avoid the return as being negatively reinforced. For example, the lockdown and safer at home rules have actually served to reinforce many people's avoidance behaviors, including my own. By avoiding going out and socializing, most have avoided getting COVID-19. Since these avoidance behaviors, only going out for necessities and wearing face masks, have allowed the avoidance of the virus, the avoidance behavior is reinforced, which means we are inclined to repeat it. Now that the country is trying to reopen, we tend to continue behaviors that have allowed us to maintain health. Completely understandable. Of course, there are other complex variables that also account for those wanting to get back out there as soon as possible, such as the punishment of loss of income due to staying at home. Punishment via loss of income reduces the behavior that it follows, so continuing to stay home in the face of possible infection would be diminished. We know that opening up the country is inevitable, so I wanted to talk about not how to sanitize the classroom setting, but rather how to manage behavior. There are many classroom management techniques with which today's teachers are very familiar. Let's review some of these techniques and discuss when they are appropriate. Planned ignoring is a procedure designed to weaken, decrease, or eliminate an inappropriate behavior by abruptly withdrawing the reinforcer that is maintaining the behavior, but only if the function of the behavior is attainment of attention. Planned ignoring should be paired with a contingency strategy in which the teacher ignores the inappropriate behavior but praises the student for an appropriate behavior that replaces the ignored behavior, such as raising one's hand and being recognized before speaking instead of calling out. Planned ignoring should never be used with aggressive behaviors or behaviors that interfere with the instructional environment. Proximity control is a nonverbal strategy that alters behaviors through the physical presence of an authority figure. Proximity control is generally appropriate for dealing with non-threatening and minimally disruptive behaviors, and can be used to stop behaviors before they happen or curtail the behaviors in the moment. Signal interference is the use of nonverbal cues to remind students to redirect inappropriate behavior. Signal interference must be clearly directed at the off-task student without disturbing other students, but it can also be used to indicate approval of student behavior. The index finger up to the mouth in a shh mode can interrupt the talkative student. The thumbs up to a student who is behaving according to expectations can be positive reinforcement for the student. Verbal redirection is a type of corrective discipline that redirects interfering behavior to positive directions and keeps students on task. This can be a timely reminder to the student to finish up the worksheet, or to remind the student that too much talking during work time can lead to an additional assignment. Contingent praise is an affirmative statement that immediately follows the completion of appropriate academic or social behaviors. Contingent praise can be categorized as non-behavior-specific praise or behavior-specific praise. Non-behavior-specific praise does not identify the behavior when praising the student. Behavior-specific praise specifies the behavior when praising the student. Contingent praise should be used immediately and consistently to be effective. Remember, praise is positive reinforcement that increases the future probability of the behavior it follows. Tension reduction. Physical activity is one strategy for reducing tension. Appropriate humor can also help to diffuse tension in students. With respect to this, I'd like to say that I always recommend that teachers do not withhold recess from students for misbehavior. Students are entitled to physical exercise and need it, and withholding, while possibly working, could also lead to an increase in unwanted behavior due to the need to have a certain amount of physical activity in the school day. Reinforcement increases the probability that a behavior will occur in the future through the attainment or avoidance of a consequence. Positive reinforcement increases the probability that a behavior will be repeated when the behavior is followed by the presentation of a preferred stimulus. Positive reinforcement strengthens a behavior by adding an incentive. Negative reinforcement increases the probability that a behavior will be repeated by removing an adverse stimulus after the desired behavior has been exhibited, similar to avoiding COVID-19 or avoiding loss of income. Extinction reduces a target behavior by withholding the reinforcer that maintains the behavior. In order to withhold the usual reinforcer, the teacher or parent must identify what consequence usually follows the behavior. Punishment decreases the probability that a behavior will be repeated. Positive punishment decreases the probability that a behavior will be repeated when followed by the presentation of an aversive consequence, such as additional homework because an assignment wasn't completed in the classroom. Negative punishment decreases the probability that an interfering behavior will be repeated by withdrawing a desired reinforcer after the behavior is displayed. An example of negative punishment could be the loss of the line leader privilege for aggressive behavior on the playground. Overcorrection is the use of repetitive behavior as a consequence for exhibiting interfering behavior. Restitutional overcorrection requires the student to restore and improve the environment, leaving it in a better state than it was in before the interfering behavior. Positive practice overcorrection requires the student displaying an interfering behavior to repeatedly perform a desired alternative behavior. Restitutional overcorrection is a better choice because it identifies how the student is to improve an environment that he or she messed up, and the student knows that when the environment is restored, the job is finished. For example, if the student didn't put away the blocks when the teacher called an end to playtime, the teacher would have the student complete the task before being able to move on to the next activity. Time out is a behavior modification procedure in which the student displaying interfering behaviors is removed from a reinforcing environment to an austere environment for a specified period of time. Inclusion timeout requires the student to remain in his or her seat or in the classroom and observe classroom instruction without having the opportunity to participate or receive reinforcements. Exclusion timeout removes the student from a reinforcing activity or setting for a specified time. Seclusion timeout requires the student to be removed from the classroom to a specified place, a secluded area or a timeout room, for a specified period of time. Seclusion timeout is often used with students who are verbally or physically aggressive or who are destroying property. A common misapplication of timeout is exceeding the amount of time needed to reduce the inappropriate behavior. A fixed duration timeout should equal 1 minute for each year of the student's age. Interval-based timeout requires that the student not display any interfering behaviors at the end of the timeout period. Timeout can be a thorny approach due to the purpose of the student's behavior and the way the procedure is applied. If the student expressed a behavior because he or she did not want to complete a task that the teacher just assigned, then sending the student to timeout could serve as reinforcement for the behavior it followed, which means that the behavior would occur again in the future when the student wants to get out of something he or she doesn't like. I've seen timeout abused in my work. In exclusion timeout, the authority figure may leave the student in timeout for far too long because he or she is negatively reinforced for doing so. For example, if the disruptive student is at a desk outside the classroom, he or she is not disrupting the activities in the classroom. Seclusion timeout can be dangerous. I've seen students placed in very small rooms with just a chair and no window, which is abusive and dangerous. It can traumatize the student. A behavior contract is a formal written agreement between the student and teacher that addresses the behavior, academic, and social goals of the student and states the reinforcers the student is to receive after achieving these goals. This is a great positive reinforcement procedure that leaves the decision to abide by the expectations in the student's lap. If the student does not meet the expectations stated in the contract, the reinforcer is not earned. If the student does meet the stated expectations, the reinforcer is earned, and the reinforcer should be accompanied by praise. A token economy is a contingency management system that allows students to earn tokens that can be exchanged for predetermined reinforcers. Token economy systems have been successful in reducing inappropriate behavior and improving academic performance. This is a great classroom management approach. One must make sure that desired items or privileges are in the classroom store. Often, teachers will poll the students regarding items they'd like to have in the store, and sometimes parents will help with donations. As you can see, there are many classroom management approaches. I always recommend strongly that all reinforcement procedures be used before punishment procedures are even considered. The old adage, catch more flies with honey, should be a rule of thumb. Punishment can become abusive if the authority figure lets anger rule his or her actions, and behaviors that are followed by punishment can lead to the individual continuing in those behaviors, but just not when the enforcer is around. When presenting reinforcers, always remember to provide praise. As Brian Tracy said, praise is a powerful people builder. Catch individuals doing something right. When administering praise with a tangible reward over time, when the behavior desired is occurring reliably, you can begin to thin the tangible reward and only offer praise. This praise instills in the individual the desire to continue meeting expectations and build self-esteem. While this podcast was done with teachers in mind, parents can use the same techniques at home. Thank you for listening today. If you have questions or you have a topic that you'd like me to discuss, please email me at harla@understandingyourchildsbehavior.com. I always maintain my listeners' confidentiality. And if you have a moment, please check out my website at understandingyourchildsbehavior.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.